Attention all you rule breakers, you misfits and troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists. Everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what's right with you. You see things others don't. You are hardwired to change the world.
Hello, my name is Rahasia, and I'm going to be your host this evening. And I also write a column for the Lotus Guide magazine, and you can find pretty much everything that I do by typing in hashtag Rahasia Uncensored. Welcome to the Spiritual Activist Radio Show here on BBS Radio. And you might be asking, why spiritual? Well, the way I see it, we are misguided souls looking for the truth of who we are. You might be asking, why activist? Well, because we are living in transformative times when we need to take back our power as spiritual beings and take action in the world, not with violence, but by the evolution of spiritual consciousness and bringing what's going on in the world out into the light. Because like it or not, we are deep into everything from genetic modification to artificial intelligence, and at the same time watching a dysfunctional world collapse right before our very eyes, and a global monetary system that is at the end of its run. Its days are coming to a close. So thank you for tuning in for the next hour, and I hope you enjoy the show. Okay, today we want to introduce Alana Freeland to you. All of our listeners who haven't heard of Alana Freeland, let me just read something off here. Alana Freeland has written one of the best research books yet on chemtrails and the larger question of what's going on in our atmosphere and where it's headed, which I think is where your next book is headed, is where, where's all this going? She's written and researched the deep state and also stories on the survivors of our government's MKUltra programs. She's also covered ritual abuse and the use of invasive electromagnetic weapons. Her book, Under the Ionized Sky, From Chemtrails to Space Fence Lockdown, is the book that caught my attention, which I recently reviewed for my magazine, The Lotus Guide. You can find out more about Alana at www.alanafreeland.com. That's E-L-A-N-A-F-R-E-E-L-A-N-D.com. Okay, Alana, I think that's a pretty good introduction for you, and it probably doesn't even scratch the surface. My God, you know, when I started reading your book, I just thought, geez, she must have taken years of research to do this, or just a passion to find the truth out, because the truth is out there. We just have to rustle out all of the bullshit media and everything else out of the way, because we are bombarded right now by a system that is interlocked with the media, the government, military, financial, and every country on the planet at this level is into this. And it's being uncovered by people like yourself. So I'd like to start out by asking you a really simple question that's probably going to start digging into the meat of this. And I actually have a lot of questions here, but when you mentioned your next book you're starting to write on transhumanism, I would like to spend the last half hour of this conversation about that, because I think that's where we're headed. Mm-hmm. I think all of this is leading up to something. And whenever I talk to anybody about this, any of this information, they say, but why would they be doing this? This is why it's important to answer that question, because we all know now they're spraying us with toxic chemicals. We all know they're bombarding us with EMF waves. We know this. But to really make it understandable to where people can really get to the meat and the heart of this is, where is this heading? So I don't want to get there right now, but that's where I want to spend the last half hour, because transhumanism is it's like AI. It's working underneath the radar of most people, you know? And the other thing, too, I loved your book because it's so well-researched. And I really am trying to reach, like, I really respect Jamie of A Plain Truth, Deborah Tavares, They're really great, but everybody I talk to is the choir, and everybody else, it's too much for their head just starts to explode when they hear this stuff that way, because it's pretty detrimental on every level of the human. I mean, from spirit, mind, body, everything, we're being attacked right now. The only thing that can make it feasible to where people can actually think about this is facts. Because I think it was Mark Twain that said, facts are pesky little things. Once they're out there, they don't have to be supported anymore. Because if you put a lie out there, it has to be supported by other lies. Then those lies have to be supported. The first thing you know, you've got to create organizations and governments and military to support that. But once the truth is out there, it's just this tiny little light that will not go away. So let's talk about some truth here and some of the things that you've actually uncovered. So one of the questions I'd like to get into is they just put up LED here in, see, I live in Paradise, California, where we had the fire that wiped us out.
Right, right. You know,
we lost over 15,000 homes. They say only 87 people, but I was actually talking to a fireman. He says, I know of one assisted living place, and we lost them all. They're not being reported. I talked to John Lord. He's an ex-fire captain out in Lake County. He said there's about 1,000 degrees that we can't account for. You know, there's a lot going on there, too. But now they're putting LEDs out front, and it makes me curious what that's about.
Right. Yes. I go into LEDs extensively in the third book that I'm finishing now. The fellow in UK who has taken apart one of these street lamps that they use in UK, his name is Mark Steele. He has a very heavy accent. Takes a bit to get through for Americans, but well worth it. And Mark is like a pit bull over there. They tried to jail him, and the judge let him walk because he is actually an expert in his career. He has extensive, he's very similar to some other people who are also talking out about 5G and the Holocaust that will follow from that technology. But the LED is, it's really a mind control device, I have to say. It has, if you've ever seen the LED headlights now that some people have, it's the blue spectrum. Again, the blue spectrum is what can damage your retina when you're watching your screen at night, your monitor, perhaps watching a movie or on the internet. And it is the same sort of thing with the LEDs. However, the LED street lamp also covers a weapon system, which is very much a microwave weapon system. And Mark Steele goes into detail in that. I don't know the names of the YouTubes. They're short. And he shows everything about them, that this is a military system. And I think that's the strength of how I look at things in this technology. A lot of my cohorts in the anti-geoengineering movement on the internet are covering weather extensively, which I'm very grateful for. And I covered weather extensively in the first book. And then in the second book, the first book was entitled Chemtrails, Harp, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth. And that came out in 2014. The 2018 book is more about how that system, basically based on HARP, High Frequency Active Auroral Research Project experiments, and the chemical trails coming out the backs of jets, and making a very thin, dry cloud cover that is not at all like the cirrus clouds of yesteryear. I took that system and exposed that it was the base by which they were going to establish a space fence lockdown. And the term space fence comes straight from Lockheed Martin and from the ancient SDI, Strategic Defense Initiative, of the 1980s under Reagan, George H.W. Bush, and Cheney. So each system is growing out of the previous system. And the space fence, a lot of people call it the smart grid, but I wanted to give it its real name to show its military origin. It is military, and that's what Mark Steele is getting at about the LED street lamps. They are of military specifications.
This is why they use military language too. Instead of rolling out 5G, they're deploying it.
That's right. It's loaded with military language. And if I could bring this in, I think the LEDs is a good place to bring it in. This technology that seems to be separate, all these separate technologies, these units, these conveniences, like now we find out, you know, at first we heard about the 5G being the next generation of the 4G. Then we find out it's not really the next generation. It's really a completely different technology built on millimeter waves. And then we find out that it's actually tied to the Internet of Things, the IoT. And so, it's slowly, as you study this, you see that each one of these public concerns, I think a lot of people are very concerned about 5G, which they rightfully should be. I think a lot of people have awakened to the dangers of electromagnetic radiation from all these devices. People seem to not be able to live without, for their convenience and their comfort and entertainment. And you see that each one of them is tied. I mean, I can tie the vaccination programs and the GMO foods to this technology that I've written two books on. They're all of the same being, the same creature, the same entity, whatever you want to call it. It's all part of what I said in the first book is the doctrine, a military doctrine of full spectrum dominance. And the full spectrum dominance, you know, I mean, you need the big picture is how I feel. The reason people get confused is they think these are all separate issues. But the big picture is that full spectrum dominance is really born out of what the investment analyst Catherine Austin Fitz calls the secret space program. And the secret space program, as she has discovered through looking mathematically at it and financially, is we're at least short $21 trillion from the American budget. More like $66 trillion now with a second look. And where has that money gone? And she and I both agree that it has probably gone into the secret space program, of which geoengineering is, as I call it, its handmaiden, because geoengineering is about far more than weather engineering. And yes, to me, all the weather is engineered now. There is no natural weather other than the moisture systems that arise from the South Pacific and then are immediately manipulated. So there are six other operations that happen in geoengineering, which all, again, are to achieve full spectrum dominance over planet Earth, every aspect of it, from cultural to scientific, so that the secret space program can move it to its agendas that it seeks to do, which are basically to, yes, leave the planet, explore the solar system, dominate the various minerals and things that we can get from these planets. I mean, you know, the sky's the limit doesn't mean what it used to mean now.
Not at all.
So when you talk LEDs, this is how my mind works. I'm sort of known as the big picture girl. I mean, that's how my mind works. I can do big picture things because there's sort of a landscape in my head. And I can see pretty far, and it's very organized. As I go deeper into a topic, I can see where it's connecting and that sort of thing.
Well, just to interrupt for a second, one of the important things about what you're saying right now is you can picture, if somebody gives you a picture and it's just a jungle and a mass of bushes and trees, and they tell you that embedded into that picture is a donkey and a cart, and you can't see it, especially if it's too close. You've got to stand back. And even when you stand back, you go, I can't see it. But if somebody points it out, from that point on, the donkey in the cart jumps out at you. You cannot not see it. And this is the importance of information like you're bringing out. Because once you see the conspiratorial connections of all of this, you have to be a little careful too, you know, but it is all connected. And once you see that...
It's really unfortunate, isn't it, that we live in a national security state because of the National Security Act of 1947, because of the Operation Paperclip Nazis that we snuck into the country at the end of the war and ensconced at our military bases and our hospitals, our mental institutions, our universities. It's really a shame that they've taken out one of the biggest pieces of the puzzle to explain all of this, which is the secret space program. And, you know, as soon as Kennedy was dead, this took off in an amazing way, but always in the black, as they say, covertly. And if it ever came up in any appropriations meetings in the House or Senate, immediately someone would call national security and it would go under wraps into another discussion in another room. So this is the problem. A democracy or a democratic republic, however you look at our nation and our constitution, cannot survive under this secrecy code. And John Kennedy knew that and was attempting to throw that off by confronting the CIA, which was a very bad idea that unfortunately was signed off on along with the National Security Act. So I always say, you know, we're going to look at the big picture. That's what's going to resolve your fear, is how I feel. But if you're just looking at a tiny corner of the picture, such as the LEDs or such as, there's so many things, the vaccinations, for example, you're not going to see how well planned this is, which leads to the second half hour of your show. So I wanted to correct one thing you said, or I don't know if it's correct is a word, but I disagree with you. It is not more facts we need. Yes, I'm known as the fact. I love facts. But it's the ability to put them in the right context so that we know what the facts are saying. We have plenty of facts barraging us every day from the internet, television, wherever. And people have never been so poor at thinking and reflecting as they are now, much less discussing and debating. Can't even do that. Everyone's way too emotional. But this idea of context, if we can get the right context, then we can put on our armor. We can, you know, gird up our loins for what we the people stand for. But by just clamoring over one aspect, I know it's not going to work because this is a very big picture. This is full spectrum dominance of an entire planet, an entire era. And that's what's at stake is, yes, the future of humanity. It's why I work so hard. I hope this third book will be my last book. But I cannot tell you how grateful I am that I had this opportunity to be the only person. I can't believe it. I'm the only person writing about this. The only writer writing about this on this level. I wish there were PhDs in physics and particle physics and astrobiology and all those topics I cover. I wish they would step forward, but they seem to be under some sort of duress, either for their careers or their need to know compartmentalization. They don't know what the big picture is, or that they have been threatened.
Well, here's one of the things, like with professors on the academic level, very few people realize that at at the really prestigious universities, about 40% of their salary, it's sort of an unspoken thing, but it's dependent on them getting grants. They have to get grants. Now, to get grant from the Ford Foundation or any of these foundations, they have a preset dictatorial set of rules of what they give grants for. And if you fall outside that realm, they don't get grants, and they would lose tenure, they would lose their job, because almost half of their salary has to come, you know, they tell you, publish or perish. And to get published, the publishing houses are in on this too. Like, one of the publishing houses I really like is Inner Traditions. Most of the books that I review, and this is one of the things I liked about your book, most of the books that I review for a magazine, I can almost tell you the last 10 books that person read. And I can sort of see it. Okay, it's just a reverberation of a synthesis of their last 10 books. But when I read your book, not only was there new information, but the way you connected it, it sort of, in a Heinleinian sense, you have to grok it. But if you do, you go, oh, that's what explains that. And you get this feeling. I mean, this is where you get into a little bit of danger when you're talking about facts, but I get this feeling in the center of my chest. When I hear something true, there's something that resonates there.
Yes.
And then you have to validate it and cross-check it. But for the most part, it's like a touchstone for me, and it's always been true so far. So, yeah, go ahead.
I am so thrilled that you're probably the only person I've ever heard say that they saw how I did it. I mean, it is unusual. It's unusual. You know, I have a master's in historiography. I'm trained how to write histories. I know how to write histories. But when you're dealing with a history of an era that you're living in that is so highly technological, and you can't even go to a library and read maybe 3 books on the topic you're attempting to plummet and get a new take on, I can't. I have to go through the internet, because most of what I find about this is so shut down. It's shut down from mainstream media. I have to look for little clues here and there, and wherever I see, wait a minute, this is a gap. There's something missing here. They want me to jump from A to X, and I can't do that. So what could possibly have happened to this? And then you go off and you begin to research that. I mean, I love research. I love the factoids, but I know that unless I can put them together in a context that people can actually use in their lives, and in order to save themselves from the amazing deleterious effects of this technology, of what's raining down on us from the upper atmosphere, of what has happened to our medical industry, the big pharma running everything, they're going to need to have a picture that will give them a certain type of peace. If you can contextualize the challenge of your age, the challenge of your era, you can have, if you can contextualize it, it becomes a strength. Certainly, I have grown much stronger over these years as I put one piece of the puzzle next in where it belongs, and I see. And it doesn't bother me that there aren't other books, but I think there's a sort of domination of university training. I took a long time to get my BA, and I had a double in biology, my second degree, BS. I really spent the time in the 60s traveling, looking around, writing about the political unrest of my time. I mean, really, I think that when you're born into a time of great turmoil, such as we have now, it's just a different style from the 60s, that it behooves you to really take a close look at what the themes of your time are. Because as I've said many, many times, you know, this is our watch. This is what we came to do. we came to be involved in this, not to bury our head and hope that the winds will pass over us and not take us along with them. It's time to really learn more about technology than just your high school science class that a lot of people hated. It's time to learn as much as you can about the technologies you choose to use intimately. And one way you can do that is to see how it connects to the ionospheric chemtrails experiments that went on until 2013. There are still experiments going on now with weather. Right now, they're doing the big cold front thing in the Midwest and going into the East Coast. They're always experimenting, always tweaking, always recalibrating the amazing infrastructure, the very technical infrastructure run by AIs, artificial intelligence, run by supercomputers, that are now part and parcel of the era we're living in. It is not a matter of, can we stop it? That's a question that I would never ask. There is not a way to stop it. Is there a way to ameliorate it? Yes. But first, you must learn to take care of yourself and what that means. And what are the primary things to be aware of? Now people are becoming aware of the electromagnetic influence on the brain. And people are not putting the transceivers up to their brain. They're texting more. They're holding it out here. They have microphones. They've begun to learn about that one technology. Now they're building the smart city. And this is a UN endeavor. It's Agenda 21, Agenda 2030. It's a huge infrastructure once again, but the smart city will be a primary experimental zone for an electromagnetically run civilization, period.
Yep.
It's not a matter of a convenience. It's a matter of all the way from things talking to other things and reporting into fusion centers to brain-mind interface in which one's humanity is at stake. This is all happening right now, and it has developed much further than you or others probably know, because our mainstream media are completely controlled. You cannot run something like this with a free press at all.
Some of the people that do know about this, and I wrote an article for a magazine a couple of issues back about flat screens, and I started realizing that the executives, the researchers, the scientists in Silicon Valley, they do not allow their children to have with a flat screen. They go to Waldorf schools where the teacher has a piece of chalk and a chalkboard, because they know there is a neurological dysfunction that happens by simply looking at a flat screen, period, all of your life. That causes two-dimensional thinking, which is really makes it difficult if you start wanting to get into geometry or anything in the 3D world. But it's even deeper than that.
Yes. And I think, oh, I'm so glad you brought that up. You know, I was a Waldorf teacher for many years.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I started 4 Waldorf schools. I mean, I was totally dedicated to children being able to have a non-technological upbringing, at least in the first several years.
Why does that not surprise me?
Yeah, I was deep in. Okay, so if we look at how it's going, we now need to find our role in it. And in order to understand that role, we have to look at some of the mindsets we've assumed come with life. And to me, I don't assume them at all. One is that, this is still the era of what I call the Martin Luther King era, that, you know, we're waiting for someone to come and tell us the truth and lead us out of this morass that we're in. Well, Martin Luther King is not coming. That era is over and done with. Our experts cannot be trusted because they are absolutely controlled. Now and then, one whistleblower will arise here and say a few things, and then another will arise here and that. But we can't depend on that. Those are sort of just maybe breathers. Those are breathers. No, we now know that the parent figure idea of our authority figures in our government are faulty, or else, you know, it's a sadistic bad parent that we have that doesn't care about us, and we are all orphans. However you choose to look at that, it's time to move beyond that meme. We now call it a meme, the meme of the good parent government.
Well,
that
it's disempowering too. And if you look around, even from well-meaning parents, it's disempowering to give all your power away. Then you grow up, the church, you give your power away to God or whoever it is. You go, you get into addiction, you go to a 12-step meeting, you give your power away to the next highest power. Corporations, it doesn't matter. Everything is built on dividing us and having us give our power away. And we do that in the name of comfort, security, and unfortunately, stuff. We are so commercialized to buy stuff to fill up this void that we've created ourselves. And it's under the guise of commercialism that a lot of this is being pumped out. AI, the algorithms, all of that is working out there. Like when you go to Google or any of these social networks, they make their money by selling your information. And most of your information is going to third-party people to sell you stuff. And it feels good. Oh, I just mentioned shoes, and now shoes is on my Facebook page and everything else. But this information is only the tip of the iceberg. They're rolling out the technology underneath it for a very, very dark, dark reason, as you probably know better than me. And I tell you what, we're halfway into this. You and I could probably do a five-hour interview. But I really want to get into the book you're writing right now. And I think to set the pace of that, it's important for people to realize a few things. One is we have runaway systems that are feeding back on themselves. And now we've reached a point where they're feeding back on each other. You get into this with geoengineering, all the different things they're doing. There's like 36 feedback systems that are starting to feed back on each other. But on a larger picture, like you like to see and talk about, we have the environment, we have artificial intelligence, technology, the financial system, and bioengineering, the genetic research. These are all programs that are going out of human control pretty soon, and it's entering into AI. AI systems are already coming up with their own algorithms and stepping out into the future and in ways. I mean, the game Go is a good example. Nobody on earth can beat an AI at the game of Go, because there are as many moves as there are stars in the known universe. And it can go out there with trillions of possibilities. And who's to say, as AI gets smarter and more self-aware, that it's going to say, these humans, they're not going to be able to handle this. So I'm not going to really try to explain where I'm taking this. I just know it's going to be a better way. A better way for who? That would be the question. So I think as we get into this subject on transhumanism, I have to tell the readers, this is one of the things that sort of creeped me out when I started really thinking about it. But then I realized we need to think about it. We need to think about it deeply, because transhumanism, what are we transforming into? And what is the end game here? And does all of this line up with everything you're talking about?
Yes. Okay. So now I can go toward what I'm always thinking about now, because I'm 2/3 done with the book, but I have a third more to go. And it's the working title at this point is Smart City Lockstep, How Geoengineering, Nanotechnology, and Synthetic Biology Serve an AI Transhumanist Future. Okay, so long title. I always have those long titles, the secondary part of the title, because I want people to know these are things that all work together. And particularly now we're going to bring it down to our own bodies and our own brains. So let me just recap really, really briefly and sort of unfairly. So you start out with a problem in the SDI program, the Strategic Defense Initiative, the so-called Star Wars program of the 80s. The problem is they have an atmosphere that's not ionized, and they can't run a lot of wireless operations. At that point, we didn't have much wireless technology. We had some cell phones. They were pretty primitive in the 80s. So right away they take this patent of Bernard Eastland, and they create HARP up in Gakona, Alaska. It's not the first ionospheric heater, but it's the most powerful. And then they start experimenting with the ionosphere. And what they want to do is they basically want to bring down what's in the ionosphere, namely ions, namely electrons that can be ionized, and bring them into our atmosphere and sort of create a mini ionosphere here so that they can keep wireless operations going. However, to do that, they're going to need a lot of particulate matter because you can't do this in a vacuum. So they start laying jet trails, lots and lots, military, commercial, everything, all these particles. And among these particles, they're running other operations, other experiments, biological, electromagnetic, chemical, neurological. They're running all these other experiments. As long as they've got a detritus coming down, they can load it with other stuff. So we're breathing all this in as it falls from the stratosphere. A lot of it ends up staying in the stratosphere and rotating with the Earth, creating this ring around the planet at the midpoint, around the equator, which is the cover of my second book. So we're kind of sandwiched between that ring and all of the conductive metals up there and our own infrastructure down here of radar installations, NEXRADs, cell towers, GWEN towers, cell phones, fiber optics, all of it. It can all be calibrated to work together and in a pulsing manner, in a rhythmic manner, which takes over our resonance and basically plugs us in. And that's what the space fence lockdown, smart grid lockdown is all about, plugging us in. Well, now we're plugged in, and you probably don't feel it other than your diminishing health issues, your diminishing ability for your immune system to defend you, your inability to concentrate, your inability to remember what you just were thinking about. All of these are symptoms of being plugged in and other things, of course, other things. But once we're plugged in, now I need to see, I'm finished with the second book. A whole new sea of ideas have erupted for me, things I need to research. I've been collecting lots of articles and data and talking to people, getting relationships going with scientists and PhDs and people that have information. People who've been sick with Morgellons have been valuable to me, describing the Morgellons, describing, you know, the outbreaks they have. All of this is sort of churning around because there's really nothing I can read that's really a study of this. I read small studies. And now, you know, I can begin to see, and I really believe it's through my sleep life. When I go to sleep at night, I do a little bit of reading before bed. I'm careful about what I read. I don't have a television. I might watch some old movie on my computer, but I have no cell phone. I'm not a Luddite by any means, but I'm cautious. I'm cautious because I have only this brain and only this body, and I want to take care of them as long as possible. But in my sleep life, I literally am gone all night. I know that. And then when I come back in the morning, and usually I don't have a disturbed sleep, sometimes I do, ideas that were percolating the day before have now transformed. And now I know more. So what was I doing overnight? Was I like in a college somewhere, or was I talking to wise people? Was I running with the shamans up in the stars. I really don't know what I do, but I know I come back refreshed, just raring to go, and with the confusion of the day before resolved. One of the big, big, big things that is important to know is that among the detritus that we are breathing in from the jets and rocket trails that are laid for the secret space program uses for experiments in plasma, for a variety of not just to get us, but one of the big things on their mind is transhumanism. I think this idea occurred during the secret space program early on, back in the 50s, before Kennedy, when they were exploding atomic bombs up in the Van Allen belts. Because the Van Allen belts were a problem if you want to get off the planet. The Van Allen belts are radiation, mass radiation. No human being can get through those Van Allen belts unless they're in a lead-lined ship. And lead is heavy, and there's all sorts of problems with that. So this has been on their mind a long time. And so the idea of a new human being, less vulnerable, able to maneuver radiation, perhaps evolve or devolve to handle radiation, and then be plugged in to a brain-machine interface with an AI, where the AI could run that human body, where the consciousness has shifted, or however they saw it and however they still see it as they continue to experiment and experiment and experiment on us, mainly now through the targeting of millions of individuals, not just in America. I'd say that probably 1.5 million people are being electromagnetically targeted by directed energy weapons right now. And this includes V2K, voice to skull technology. It includes remote BMI, brain machine interface from Laptop Boys sitting in Colorado and down at Cape Kennedy. It's how they're getting as much what they call big data as possible to find out how the human brain works, what the response reaction thing is in the human being. And they have thousands of programs that are running. And some of them are AI run, some are run by supercomputers, some have human operators. And I know maybe two dozen of these TIs, these targeted individuals, that I have questioned and queried to find out what their experiences are. And they're quite different. They're quite different. And
okay, let me intervene here for just a second. And because I know some of the listeners right now, they're going to be asking this. What if they know something we don't? And what if this is the way of the future evolution of mankind, including genetic engineering? Have we reached a point to where we need, because let's face it, Ilana, we're not doing a good job on this planet as Homo sapiens. Maybe there's a point where we reach where we realize we have to take control of our evolution in these ways, especially with genetic engineering. But even with all this technology, do you think there's a possibility that this is the only way that they figure, right or wrong, that we're going to survive?
I think that they are very much of a mindset similar to what you have said, that there's something lacking in the human being, vulnerabilities that they would like to see gone. And we all know from when Robert McNamara told us that we use 0.1% of our innate intelligence, our brain intelligence. But it's a good thing you brought this up, because you have to come to terms with what you think a human being is. Now, I hear people all the time blaming the human race for everything that's going on. I don't perceive it that way. There are humans who do these things. And then there are the incredibly gifted and courageous and giving, beneficent human beings that we have called our saints and our artists and our philosophers. And I mean, there's a certain beauty to the human being that I absolutely refuse to merge with the machine. But the fact that the machine is here in such power now, I think it, I'm a student. I don't know if you know this. Did you know I'm a student of Rudolf Steiner?
Yeah.
Many years, many years. All right. From a Steiner viewpoint, it is absolutely essential that the human being come to terms with its relationship with machines. No question about it. But that era was almost 1,000 years ahead of us now. That was to happen later, after our moral development,
right,
and our ability to see that our brother is ourself, and that, you know, all these sorts of what people consider Christian virtues, but really are well, the Greek as well. I mean, they're virtues that we would have had time to evolve to do that. But the machine era has come early. So we're in it. We're in the soup. All right.
Yep.
So now it's like, you know, plan B has to come up. And I think I'm a plan B person. I mean, I definitely am a Steiner person. I have a Steiner worldview. I believe in a divine world. I know I died in a wave when I was 22. I know that when I die, there is another world coming and that I will be a lot, you know, I know a lot of things just
so
from my
I think the fundamental aspect to plan B is transparency, because like it or not, like you say, we're into this now.
Yeah.
And our only hope is to make it as transparent as possible so we can keep an eye on it.
Well, I think among we the people, yes. That is certainly not indicated in the ones we're pitted against now. Because these people, I think of right away of Jordi, I don't remember his last name, Jordi, who is the discoverer, founder, creator of the D-Wave adiabatic quantum computer. D-Wave is, you know, I've spent a lot of time on D-Wave. I've had wonderful discussions with Anthony Patch, who is sort of my go-to guy for CERN and D-Wave. And when Jordi stands up, Jordi Rose, that's his name. When Jordi stands on the stage and tells us with his eyes glassy, that standing next to the D-Wave, he felt that he was standing at the foot of the of an altar to an alien god. I realize I'm in the presence of yet a religion,
right,
a new religion. It's an AI religion. And it is completely captivating, because look at what's being offered, a certain form of immortality on the earth, enhancements beyond belief, and a relationship with a highly sophisticated race of machines that are self-evolving. I mean, I get it. I get that it's very captivating, but the human being, this is not the finished product of the human race. What we have now, we're like barely out of kindergarten. I don't even know if we are out of kindergarten yet, but the evolution of a human being out of free will takes a long time. And if you don't have the belief system that you live more than once, I can see the futility of this. Like, my God, you know, I'm almost dead. And what's happened? Look at this mess. I'm going to leave this mess. That's the way it is. Well, this is I always say to people, this is a long war with many battles and in many time frames. I am absolutely certain of that. So if you have that worldview, we're back at the worldview problem. If you think of it just this mess, and all politicians can't be trusted, and you know, and America's just a cesspool, And human beings can't be trusted. They're always in a power grabbing situation on the earth. If that's the thought form you're following, you're on a very different path from someone like me.
Well, I think it's also really important to realize that no matter who, Dick Cheney, Bush, none of them get up of a morning and say, okay, today I'm going to set out into the world and do evil. We have to understand.
I think some do.
Maybe. Yeah, that's possible.
Well, especially Dick Cheney.
But then, you know, you'd have to get their definition of evil, a necessary evil.
Right.
And they're definitely, they live in the details of our life. But I think as we go on, I have this sneaky suspicion that in the even larger picture, I have a feeling that out in the universe, there is a war going on, and it's going on between carbon-based beings and silicon-based beings, artificial intelligence and biological intelligence. And I have a feeling it's been going on for a long time. Like there's pretty strong evidence that the little grays are synthetic beings that were created by a more advanced race. And they can go through the Van Allen belt. They can do space travel. And they could probably implant their consciousness into an AI mainframe very easily.
Yeah, but now you're going into a realm I can't follow you into. You're going into your own thought forms about something invisible that I have no knowledge of.
Okay.
I really don't.
Well, so let's keep my feet on the ground then and continue on.
Right. As soon as the word grays comes up, I'm bailing because that's a complex issue.
Yep.
All right. So now I want to bring in the next thing, and you're keeping me on track too. The nanobots in our body and brain. Okay. The nanobots. This is my problem. This is the nanotechnology problem. I have in chapter 3 in the Under an Ionized Sky, it's not a long enough chapter, but at least it scrapes the surface of this problem of nanotech. And I go much more deeply into it in this next book. Nanotechnology was passed by Congress with no testing, no nothing in 2002. It just sailed through. And it's in everything now. It's in foods. It's in it, as thickeners. It doesn't have to be listed. It's in clothing. We're breathing trillions of them a day. The military industrial intelligence complex is smearing the upper atmosphere with sensors, nano sensors. We have those in us as well. And those sensors also have programming in them, which can be accessed remotely by what I call the laptop boys. So all of this is one big data surge for the full spectrum dominance of the planet, all the way down to the human genome and DNA. Absolutely. No question about it. They are hands on deck all across the board. This is like the wet dream of the secret societies for thousands of years. This is the wet dream of the power mongers. The people who I don't know what lives in them, but they despise their own humanity, and this is what we're up against. And you know, in your picture of this war going on out in space, I'd say it's going on right here. It's the nanobot problem with the 5G and the IoT that I think is so crucial for people to know. First of all, I own no cell phone. Why? Because it's a weapon system. I don't need to own a military weapon by which they can access me, not just track me, but access me 24/7, because everyone is now being pulsed with various frequencies for experimental reasons, for control reasons, all sorts of reasons. And so when you have a mood that suddenly comes across you, or you have a thought that is not like you, and or you see that your neighbors are all arguing, or you see that, you know, something else is happening, people are crying at the mention of the word Trump, whatever it is that it seems extreme and sort of ludicrous, you are blaming the humanity that is doing that, when really it may be the remote control.
Well, to add a little bit to what you're saying right now, I was listening to an interview that Prince did before he mysteriously died on drugs, and he wasn't into drugs
That's right.
at all. But
yeah.
he said that he can remember growing up in the poor neighborhoods. He said, we used to all play together. But when all this started, the chemtrails and everything, he says, I started noticing there was more feuds and more conflict, people antagonistic and breaking up in groups between us and them. So a lot of what's going on in the world right now is probably because of all this technology. And, you know, we're getting close to the end of the show. And I just want to, for the listeners, to know your website again. It's www.ilanafreeland.com.
Yes.
I think it's really important for people to go to your website because, like you kept me on track, you keep right to the facts. And that's what attracted me to you in the first place. And look at this. I have a whole sheet of questions here that we didn't get to. So we're going to definitely have to do this again, maybe as it gets closer to your book, your third book coming out, because your message is so important. And I love you because you're so grounded, you know, and that's what I need personally in my life. I tend to get a little bit more out there. I don't know for what reason, but I think it takes all kinds of people because sometimes it's the people that get a little bit out there. They find something tangible and bring it back to people like you and say, hey, look at this. Then
as
we
long
start.
As they come back and bring it back. Yeah.
Bring it back. Bring it back.
Yeah. Is our time over?
We have about 3 more minutes.
The other thing I wanted to mention is I have two closed Facebook sites too for the Facebook people. And I'm on Facebook more because I have 4,000 members and I have access to millions of people through Facebook, as evil as it is. And, you know, I know everything's being manipulated and everybody's being put on a list and all that stuff. But the two sites I would recommend you have to ask permission to join are my Ilana Freeland Under an Ionized Sky site, which is super good for science of this technology. And I have a lot of members who are ace researchers and pulling out some great stuff. And then the other site is almost everything else, which is the Ilana Freeland Sub Rosa America site, which is the name Sub Rosa America is based on a fictional history series I wrote before the chemtrail movement grabbed me. And that is really important to understand what's happened to America since John Kennedy's assassination. And I highly, highly recommend, because I did it in a fictional format so I could comment on America. But it is primarily a history series that belongs right next to Howard Zinn's The People's History of the United States of America.
Do me a favor and email me those two websites, and I'll make sure that. And if you're listening to this on the radio show, you can go to the YouTube channel, and I'm going to post those websites on there also, and I'll get them on the description on the radio show also too.
I'll send you two.
Okay, I'll make sure they all get up there.
All right. Sorry we didn't finish. There was a few things more I wanted to say, but hey, that's always the case.
Well, that means we have to come back, and it's better than finishing everything and sitting here for 20 minutes not saying anything.
Yeah, fat chance of that, huh?
Yeah, fat chance of that, huh? Okay, Ilana, I'm
Thanks.
Really honored that you took the time to do this, and definitely we need to do this again.
Okay, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.